You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio here. Phil Williams live in the Right Side Studios, hour number two, doing the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and all the issues, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, listen, we're going to the phones right now, bringing in somebody who's done radio for a lot of years, somebody who I've known a bit here and there, Matt Murphy, formerly with Birmingham's Talk 99.5. He is now the midday host at Super Talk 99.7 WTN up in Nashville. And I thought, you know what, let's get some local perspective, some local flavor. And I guarantee you this has been a topic on his show today. So without further ado, Matt Murphy, how you doing, man?
I'm great, Phil. Hope you are. Hope the entire North Alabama area is doing well.
We're doing good, man. Appreciate you. And thanks for making some time today. So topic at hand, the shooting there at Covenant Christian School. What's the I can imagine what the local perspective is, but what can you bring to the discussion here about things you've seen or heard in your area?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I mean, obviously wherever it happens, it's an absolute tragedy. And we live in a society that believes in freedom and openness to the point that sometimes these types of things happen. We're just trying to figure out the motivations behind the shooter. Obviously, there's some form of what they're describing as a manifesto that was left behind. It was a 28-year-old female who, as has been widely discussed, identified as a male. And there was some confusion about that because the mainstream media can't seem to understand a biological female is a biological female. But this was a born woman. So just to clear that up, because there was some confusion on my show. 28 years of age, went to the school for a period of time in her youth, and that is what we believe how she was familiar with the school, but laid out a map and had a determined purpose to kill as many people as possible. I'll say this, Phil, if it were not for the training within the school that they've done over the years regarding active shooter type situations, I mean, obviously, every soul is precious, and six individuals, three young children and three adults, that is a horrific tragedy, but it could have been so, so much worse.
Oh, yeah.
I spoke with and am friends with a gentleman by the name of Brink Fidler, who runs a company called Defense Systems. He was with the Metro Nashville Police Department for 18 years, and now it is his goal in life to fortify schools, churches, and other places where people congregate in an effort to try to help them understand what to do in the unlikely event that they find themselves in a situation like this. And thankfully, that Covenant group had taken his training, utilized it to their advantage, and I believe that tens, if not more, children were not saved. I mean, there were almost 200 kids, I think, that went to that school, some 40-plus staff members, and it could have been so much more worse. I would also like to give kudos to the Metro Nashville Police Department.
Yeah, absolutely.
Their training is fantastic, Phil. And if you see the video, I don't know of anyone that's watched it that has not gotten emotional. I get emotional just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Police officers responding to the scene, not knowing what they're going into. They start clearing rooms because there's no active threat at the time that they get to the scene. But as soon as they hear gunshots, they stop what they're doing, and they rush to the gunshots, and they descend upon the perpetrator and stop the shooting right there.
Let me ask you, too, Matt. I mean, you bring up a great point, something. I mean, I kind of introed this topic before you got on, and so some of those details my audience has heard. But one thing that we hadn't discussed yet, you bring up a great point, is schools doing training themselves, not the police officers who definitely had training. You could tell by the way they were shooting, moving, and communicating. But the reality is, the school itself had gone through its lockdown procedures, and I think you told me off the air, too, that students wouldn't even come out of the rooms when the police were calling them, giving them the all clear, because they've been trained, don't answer, don't open the door.
The young people and the teachers of that school need to be applauded and treated for the heroic actions that they committed on yesterday. I mean, here's the thing. The young people and the teachers were in their rooms. They barricaded themselves. They went to what is called the hot corner, where they are furthest away from any visual point that the shooter could possibly assess them. They also pulled blinds down on the classroom doors, which is very important, so the shooter cannot visualize or see any movement within the rooms. And then after the shooter was killed, the police then went to the doors, knocked on the doors, and they've been trained not to believe that it's a police officer just because someone says it's a police officer. And I was told by a Metro Nashville police officer who was on the scene yesterday that they had to shotgun breach multiple classrooms as a result of the kids refusing to come to the door. And that is to the training that those kids received and the teachers received. I mean, it is frightening that the cops had to do that, but at the same time, that's the right way that it should be done to prevent the unlikely scenario that one of the shooters would pretend to be a police officer. It's to their training, too.
I don't know if you remember this or not, Matt, but during your time in Birmingham, and I think it was in the post-Sandy Hook shooting time frame, in the state legislature in Alabama, back when I was still in the state Senate, we actually passed legislation to require certain things. Like, for instance, every school has to have its floor plan on file with the sheriff's department of their county. And those kind of things had to be put in place to make sure that a first responder team has immediate access to, in case there's a barricaded situation or an active shooter that they have to, you know, go in and lay siege they have the actual ability to know the layout of the school. Plus, they do off hours drills through local schools to get familiarized themselves too. There's a lot of prep that goes into this.
Well, and some of the things, Phil, that my man Brink Fiddler teaches about on a day-to-day basis, some easy things that schools can do in exterior opening doors. I understand that schools don't design their buildings that way because doors opening into hallways is kind of cumbersome, but exterior opening doors prevent the ability for a shooter to breach a doorway. Little things like door stops on the inside of a door that would prevent further breach. It has been statistically proven. I think the stat is 96% of the time a shooter in a situation like this, if they encounter a door that is locked or closed, they will move on because they're looking for an easier target as opposed to trying to breach those doors. So I mean, just the little things that we can learn in day-to-day life to try to prevent, should we find ourselves in an unlikely scenario like this, to prevent these tragedies. These two police officers are going to be hailed as heroes, rightly so. The teachers in that school ought to be hailed as heroes as well for their actions, too.
Hey, listen, man, let me ask you something. So around the nation, we got some communities where defund the police has left them scrambling for cover, and then we've got, you know, what I would consider to be softer targets in the broad community sense because of that. Nashville, I mean, they look like nothing but shining knights right now in the wake of this particular incident. But what's the mood been up there? Has the police had the continued support of the community and community leadership, or has there been a struggle with them as there has been in other places?
No, sadly, Phil, as you might expect, in a city as big as Nashville, they went through it like so many other metro departments went through it. They saw a decline in their ranks. I think they're about 300 short right now within the departments. They're overworked. They're overtaxed. And unfortunately, they're underpraised. And I took the opportunity on my show today to remind my listeners, and I know most of them already know this, they hear it from me, and I'm sure your listeners hear it from you all the time. Praise a police officer. Take a moment to thank them when they're doing things right. We so often criticize them only when one or two of the bad apples do something wrong. We need to praise these guys and reinforce in every community in America that these are the good guys. These are not the bad guys because one or two every so often do something that, presents themselves in a bad light. But thankfully, the community is coming out in praise and support of the actions of the Metro Police Department. And hopefully, we'll be able to turn a corner and get more individuals in the academy and more good young men and women who want to serve their community, joining the ranks of the Metro Nashville Police Department.
Man, I agree with that. And listen, I tell you what, one other thing that I saw in the wake of this that I really appreciate, first of all, the police chief and other local leaders, they were out front pretty quick. And then on top of that, they released the body cam footage within 24 hours. I have never seen that happen before. But by releasing that body cam footage not only shows that their folks were on time, in the right place, doing the right things, it removes doubt in that regard. It also gives us, reason to hope that that kind of response can happen every time if they do it right.
Well, that's right. And one of the comments that I heard personally from one of the police officers who arrived a little after the initial arriving officers on the scene yesterday, I asked him directly. I said, "Man, you guys got there in less than 14 minutes," and he immediately cut in, Phil, and said, "We got there 14 minutes too late." They understand how time sensitive these situations are, and they take it very personally. Every cop that I've ever known that has been on the scene of a situation where there was a murder, they assess and reassess and reassess what could they have done differently or more quickly in order to have prevented that murder. Even in the midst of saving, lives, they just think that way because they're good people, they're good men, and they're good women. So, I mean, these officers are to be applauded, absolutely. But what I encourage my listening audience today was, you know, I was reminded of the old Fred Rogers story about seeing something bad happen and his mother, when he was a child, say, "Well, look for the helpers. There's always people helping. There's always helpers." And what I say on my show, Phil, is don't just look for the helpers. Be the helper.
Absolutely, man.
Engage in a way where you become the first responder, because sadly, as good as our police officers are, they can't be everywhere.
Yeah.
And we need to be prepared in this dangerous world. And I'll say one more thing, and I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but I watched as national news media completely mischaracterized and miscommunicated several pieces of legislation that came through the Tennessee legislature. And you being a part of that in Alabama, you know how they do. They take something and they twist it and they turn it into something that it wasn't.
Yeah.
And sadly, the mainstream media has misreported a couple of pieces of legislation involving transgender people that I believe eventually it will come out that this person believed that there were certain things in Tennessee that were not so. And you take those seeds of misinformation and you implant them in someone that's already mentally deranged, and sadly, this could be the result.
Well, you hit on my last question. I was going to go there because I know you've been tracking Tennessee legislation far deeper than I do down here in Alabama. But that was my point, was I can see the tension. I don't deep dive into it, but I knew what it was about. And I could not help but wonder, are we going to see that manifesto? I know that one of your congressmen has already called for the manifesto to be released. I don't know if we will, because it may contain other items that are sensitive to the investigation. But nonetheless, I think we're going to find, I agree with you, I think we're going to find that political tension stoked by the mainstream media and by those who would try to control the narrative for their own purposes, I think we're going to find out that played in a big way. In fact, that was probably the impetus for doing this.
Well, and just two things, for the edification of the audience. There were two pieces of legislation that passed the General Assembly this year. One was to prevent underage children from attending adult-oriented, sexually themed cabaret shows, to include drag shows. That was
right,
it.
Right.
It was, if you're underage, you can't go to these things. It didn't ban drag shows. It didn't ban strip clubs. It didn't ban any of that. It just said underage people can't go. That's number one. Number two, there was a piece of legislation passed that prevented any medical facility in Tennessee operating on or presenting permanent life-altering medication or surgery prior to the age of majority, which is 18 in this case, in regard to transgender surgeries. That's it. If you're an adult, you can do what you want to do. But if you're a 15-year-old child, we're not going to do something that's permanent and life-altering. These are the two bills that have been totally mischaracterized by the leftist mainstream media that I think, because of that mischaracterization, could lead some to believe that there's some attack on trans people going on in the state of Tennessee. God forbid anybody believe that and do something like this, but that type of misinformation can lead to things like this in the right minds.
Well, brother, I appreciate you spending the time with us. We are out of time right now, but as things develop, maybe I'll holler at you again, and if we can do anything for you down here, you let us know, all right?
Absolutely. Same up here, Phil. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. That's Matt Murphy, formerly at Birmingham's Talk 99.5. He is now the midday host at Super Talk 99.7 up in Nashville. And great perspective. And really cool to hear him talking about how much work was done in advance by the school and by local law enforcement to be ready for a day like this. God forbid you should ever have to use this training, but God forbid you should need it and not have it. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, ran long. We'll be right back. Y'all stay tuned.